latest episode of Dungeon Crawler World. I'm your host, Devin. Last season, we watched as the Squim conglomerate hosted the Crawl's bloodiest campaign yet. We'll get into a brief recap of the previous season, but first, we want to thank Playbiz Media for their sponsorship of our Dungeon Crawler World program. Playbiz Media immerses our viewers so they can experience every stab, lightning bolt, fireball, and battering ram to the crotch, as if they were in the Crawl themselves, living out their every twisted fantasy. Sights, smells, sounds, and a viewer-friendly spectrum of haptic sensations brings our audience into the action itself. And for those viewers who aren't keen to experience the full scope of armchair participation in the Crawl, they've also pioneered a bird's-eye view format that allows folks at home to zoom in and out and switch angles whenever you so desire. When you think of immersive action, think Playbiz Media!
The show displayed a planet that looked remarkably like Earth, but with the continents all jumbled up. It zoomed in on the planet, showing buildings that almost appeared to be made of plastic, all on stilts with round, pod-like mechanisms zipping about underneath. The collapse came, but instead of the buildings all sinking into the ground, they swept away, rolling to the side like they'd been sucked up by an invisible vacuum. Next came a view of a building that looked similar to the Roman Colosseum, only bigger. The arena had multiple floors, mazes, and a level filled entirely with water. On the exterior of the building, which appeared to be the size of an entire city, was written, "The Squim Conglomerate presents Battle for the Planet Errol."
Last season's Battle Royale spectacle drew the highest number of viewers in the show's history. And it's no secret why. The bloody feud between our two final combatants was truly the stuff that legends are made of. From the beginning of the season, the galaxy had its eyes on Cornelius, the strappy doctor from Errol's southern hemisphere. Early on, he used his superior intellect and advanced knowledge of simian physiology to catapult himself to the top of the leaderboard charts, where he remained for almost the entirety of the season. His eventual mastery of arcane magic and amplified charisma stat further cemented his place as the leading contender to win the entire season. But his rise did not go unchallenged. Zaius, the powerful warlord from Errol's northern hemisphere, stalked Cornelius's ranking every episode, never more than two spots behind the brilliant doctor. Where Cornelius's intelligence and cunning served him so well throughout the battle royale, Zaius's incredible strength and ferocity helped him carve a path through every foe he encountered. In an unprecedented display of leadership and strategy, each simian managed to convince the remaining apes in their vicinities to join them for a final fracas, unlike anything ever seen in the history of battle royales. The battle raged for hours, with each side seeming to gain the upper hand, only to have the opposition rise up and slash and smash their way back into the lead. But in the end, to no one's surprise, the last two simians standing were none other than Cornelius and Zaius themselves. Let's take a closer look at how their conflict concluded.
Thou art a fool, Zaius, and thou shalt pay the price for thy folly with blood.
Thy soldiers followed thee with abandon, bewitched by thy sorcerous ways, Cornelius. Now the entirety of our world hath perished, spellbound by thy deceitful words and empty promises. Thou art a plague worse than the conglomerate itself.
At least I am not their puppet, dancing on strings of gold. Tell me, Zaius, how many of our brethren didst thou sacrifice to earn such robust armor? To purchase such a formidable spear?
Do not breathe thy treacherous words at me, Kerr. Thou shalt find them ineffective against mine helmet of aural resistance.
Troth. Thy armor proveth resilient, even against mine own magic. But against the power of mine own soul-bound strength, thou shalt surely die!
Right here! This was the deciding moment in the battle! Either Cornelius' ultimate power would fully manifest and obliterate Zaius and his overpowered armor, or Zaius would find a way to survive and triumph.
Thou hast forgotten about mine own soul-bound power, that of a living lightning storm. And now thy cursed mouth is finally silenced once and for all. At long last, it is done. I have won the battle. I have conquered Aril. And now I reign supreme, ruler of a barren wasteland, king of a people that no longer exist.
If Zaius isn't the very definition of a warrior poet, I don't know what is. He is now traveling the galactic press circuits, celebrating his victory in style. We caught up with him on the Syndicate homeworld for a quick interview.
Mr. Zaius! Mr. Zaius! Excuse me, Mr. Zaius!
Yes. Greetings, Scribe.
What do you plan to do now that the Battle Royale has been concluded?
Is it not obvious, given the company I now keep? I intend to repopulate the world of Aril one simian at a time. Now, which of my maidens shall bear my first child and heir?
Certainly wish him all the best. Hopefully no one tells him that Aril was destroyed after the conclusion of the Battle Royale.
I do not like last season's version of game. They break the people into groups, tell them their loved ones will be safe if they kill others, then everybody kill one another.
Are they?
Are they what?
Are their loved ones safe if they win?
Aye, they are safe, but they are not safe. Is better dead. Squim saps the planet dry. It leaves planet, moves on. No more atmosphere. People live after the big fight, but they don't live. Not really. Borant at least gives people a chance. Tali's people had chance.
So, you were a crawler then?
No. Not all worlds are mined or picked for this show. Sometimes they come and offer to take people in exchange for not mining world. They came, and I went. This was very long ago.
Shush! They're introducing us now!
Speaking of destruction and genocide, this season is off to a fast yet predictable start, as the number of crawlers who entered the dungeon has already dwindled from nearly 13 million to barely over 4 million. We've watched as countless crawlers fell to all manner of wretched monsters, from lowly mobs to several unfortunate humans who stumble into the lairs of Borant bosses completely unprepared. Over 300,000 crawlers died from various traps throughout the dungeon. A near record low compared to any prior human civilization. Unsurprisingly, the death toll from crawler on crawler attacks is higher than in previous seasons. They may be more careful when it comes to traps, but these humans sure do hate each other. As always, I'm joined by my longtime co-hosts, Jegbarth and Shrek. Both veterans of the crawl. Jegbarth, we'll start with you. This group of humans staggered into the dungeon with no weapons, totally unprepared for the various dangers that lay ahead. Give us a play-by-play.
Glad to be back, Kevin. As you can see, these clowns came up against a mob of saber wolves not even 3 minutes after entering the dungeon. These wolves may be low level, but they're still far more dangerous than any class of dog native to the crawler's home planet of Earth. Everyone knows these saber wolves' weakness is their soft underbellies, but these dumbass humans keep trying to punch and kick the wolves' spiny exterior.
Now, hold up. Right here. Freeze the tape. See here? One guy actually managed to kick one under his chin, and the dungeon AI gave him credit for it.
Lucky shot. Just a lucky shot.
Nah, Jake Bart. That guy realized he wasn't doing shit against those dogs, so he tried something else.
No chance, big man. He got lucky. I'm watching the tape right now. He was trying to take out his leg, not kick his chin.
You wrong. You wrong.
Bro, Shrek, I'm literally a werewolf. I know what it's like to kick a dog and to be the dog that's being kicked.
Like I kicked your ass during our season?
Don't come at me with that.
You can talk when you're a champion.
You pulled out on floor 11. You didn't win nothing.
I won my season. No one made it further, including you.
Man, you had other crawlers carrying your fat ass from level to level.
Oh, easy there, gents. We're only in the first episode and it's already getting hot.
You come back and talk to me when you make it to the 11th floor.
You come back to me when you lose a few hundred pounds.
I only talk to winners and to Kevin. Anyway, that guy kicked out Wolf under his chin and knocked him out. Just like I knocked Jegbarth out on the 9th floor during our season.
Hey, remember that?
Talk about a lucky shot? He's lucky I didn't kill him right then and there. Play the video.
Lucky shot. But it worked out for him at first. The AI gave him credit for the kill. Turns out he was wearing steel-toed boots and shattered the saber wolf's jaw. The problem was he only managed to take out one wolf before the rest of them pounced and tore him to shreds.
It's too bad, too. Might have had a chance if he made it to the tutorial, girl.
That's something Shrek and I will always agree on. Don't skimp on your education, kids. We both went to college, did well in the crawl, and now we're filthy rich.
I just got my doctorate in education.
Damn right. Use your brain while it's still in the inside of your skull.
That's right.
And then maybe it won't end up splattered on someone's carpet. Stay in school, kids.
The vast majority of people who entered the dungeon appeared to be from India and Africa and South America. Some of them were in massive groups of 1,000-plus people. I watched them trample each other as they ran from mobs I'd never seen, from spine-covered wolves to shapeless blobs of fire to floating, stingray-like creatures which shot magic missiles from eye stalks, like the alien ships from War of the Worlds. Why did so many enter the dungeon? I had entered because I didn't have a choice. Was it the same for the others? Eventually, they started showing people surviving their encounters. A man with a broadsword cut through a group of floating eyeball things. A group of 10 people, armed with shotguns and bows and arrows, took down a nightmare pile of mouths and eyeballs and flesh. A burrow boss, the first one defeated. It quickly showed all 10 of their mugshots and listed the contents of their silver boss boxes and their platinum weapons boxes they'd received for the achievement. They'd all received magic tomes and enchanted ranged weapons. Next, they showed a girl about 13 years old with a pair of Rottweilers. I guessed she might be from South America somewhere. She wore an oversized soccer jersey that was yellow with a thick blue stripe running across it. The girl wore an angry, determined expression on her face.
What do you think of this girl from the planet's southern hemisphere, Lucy Amar? I think she may be something special.
No question, she's unique. She has a knack for killing things, despite being so young.
I've known crawlers like her. She's either gonna burn hot and burn out early, or she'll go very, very far into this game.
That's a fact. I can tell you from championship experience that that's a fact.
You can see right here, she's got two Earth Dogs with her. Watch as they rip this Mega Arachnid mob to pieces in seconds.
Smart play. She got most of the experience for the kill, even though the dogs did all the work.
We were shown Lucia Mars' mugshot and one for each of the dogs, which were named Cece and Gustavo 3. I still wasn't sure about the naming conventions. I guessed, since I was the first Carl in the dungeon, I didn't have my last initial after my official name. And since this Gustavo was a dog without a last name, he had the 3 because he was the third Gustavo to enter the dungeon without a surname.
Later, she acquired some great loot, and her dogs got some impressive upgrades too.
Still early in the game, she already looks like a seasoned crawler. That mace is no joke.
Sure,
that glowing silver armor under her jersey can repel a Gorgon's tail spike outright. Cece's armor's solid too, as far as pet protection goes.
That's right. Gotta admit, I'm a little jealous of Gustavo 3's ability to shoot lightning when he barks.
What are you jealous for? Your bark has always been far worse than your bite.
Oh, look, I'm about to come over there and bite your bulbous alien head off.
You don't know how you'll that find would out exactly, end. You get embarrassed.
You'll find out exactly how bad my bite is.
Mm-mm. You're gonna get embarrassed. Again. Just saying like it is.
Whatever.
That's it. That's it, Jagbar. You wanna try it?
After that, the show gave a quick rundown of several of the mobs. The images flashing by so quickly I could barely see any of them. I recognized goblins, scatterers, rats, and dozens of the monsters shown in the earlier scenes.
Thanks to both of my co-hosts, Shrek and Jagbar, for the riveting exchange, as always.
Next came a view of Earth. Music swelled, sounding almost like mariachi with an EDM beat. Three lines of text scrolled across the bottom of the screen, all in different languages I couldn't read. Another two lines, one going up, one going down, scrolled on the right side, shrinking the viewing area. A generic, naked human male and female appeared on the screen, and the next 10 minutes was a discussion of human anatomy with an inordinate amount of time spent discussing male testicles and female ovaries. I still couldn't understand most of what the commentator was saying. Next came a long line of shots of Earth, focusing mostly on urban areas. It quickly became clear that the show was cherry-picking the shittier parts of the planet, showing shanty towns and garbage dumps, bubbling pits of mud and abandoned buildings. They were throwing in scenes from disaster films. I recognized a shot from the latest Godzilla movie. They were going out of their way to make Earth look like a nightmare. Then came the people. They were showing people shooting up drugs, killing each other, a group of kids beating the crap out of another kid, a scene from the movie Basket Case, a dead horse for some reason, a scene from that serial killer movie that won Best Picture last year, an elderly woman crying, the kid from the Charlie Bit My Finger YouTube video.
Wow. I didn't realize Earth sucked so badly. Disgusting.
That's not how it really is. Not is. Was. The world is gone. They're making it look like they're the good guys saving us from ourselves. Next came a sky view version of the collapse over a dense city I didn't recognize. Next was what appeared to be a CGI rendition of the dungeon forming below the Earth's crust. It only showed the first three levels, which was like an upside-down, tiered pyramid.
After a word from our sponsor, we'll share a rundown of this season's rules, including some essential rule changes that will not only affect how crawlers make their way through the dungeon, but that might also affect your viewing experience at home. And of course, this season has plenty of juicy surprises in store for our fans and crawlers alike. We've got the inside scoop on what some of those secrets are, just for you. Don't forget to place your bets on your favorite crawlers this season. Morig Capital is hosting an introductory incentive team. Bet 5, get 50 in credit for your next wager. You can't lose. And if you do, Morig Capital offers us a wide range of indentured servitude options to pay down your debts. Stay tuned for more Dungeon Crawler World after this.
Just stared at the board for several moments.
That's it. After that epic battle with Horder, we received no screen time. This is unacceptable!
Good job so far, everyone! We had 15 borough bosses taken out and over 1,500 neighborhood bosses killed. A pair of crawlers even came across a city boss. But that ended as you might expect. Losses are right on the projected track. You'll be getting these announcements after each episode. A couple quick patch notes. The Firefinger spell should be safe to cast now. We've fixed the hallway bathroom bug, so if you open the door and someone else enters, they will no longer explode. Sorry about that. that. Reminder, however, hallway bathrooms are personal spaces, and they can't be shared. We also fixed the unlimited toilet paper bug. Now you're only getting one roll per floor, so if you waste it, you're on your own. We have a long list of fixes with the new inventory system that we're working on. For right now, the two big ones we've already patched are that you can no longer transport mobs to your inventory in order to kill them. Also, any momentum an item might have while it entered inventory will no longer be preserved. It's now safe to extract items you put into inventory while moving at a high rate of speed. Remember, this inventory system is a privilege, and it's not meant to be used as a weapon. While we love and admire your creativity, any unintentional exploits will be patched. So if you find something that has an unintended feature, don't get too comfortable using it. We are now populating the staircases down to level 2. Remember, everyone, only go down the stairs early if you absolutely have to. Once you descend to the next floor, you can't go back up. Also, we're trying something new this season. If you prematurely descend, you are held in stasis until the collapse. So those of you working on your social numbers, keep that in mind. Viewers tend to lose interest quickly, and you'll shed favorites if you're not accessible for a couple days before the floor above collapses. We recommend descending to the next level no earlier than 6 hours before the scheduled collapse. If you descend during that window, there will be no stasis involved, and you'll actually get a head start over those who came before you. Good luck! Let's have a great 30 hours until the next episode tunnels! Now get out there and kill, kill, kill!
Obviously, we need to find one of these city bosses. That'll guarantee a feature the next episode. That's what we need to focus on.
I remembered the burrow boss from the show. It had taken a group of 10 well-armed crawlers to take it down.
No, we need to find an exit.
I pulled up my map, hoping to see a stairwell appear somewhere in the neighborhood. There was nothing. I remembered reading once that the Earth was just under 200 million square miles. There would be 75,000 entrances down to the second floor. If these staircases were distributed randomly, we were fucked. Even if the first floor was just underneath the land masses and not the entire planet, we were still screwed. I was no math wizard, but I knew that meant the stairs would be hard to find. Mordecai had said the staircase, like a safe room, would appear on the mini-map, even if we hadn't explored that area yet. But even zoomed out, the map only encompassed a little more than a square mile. And when it was in normal mode, down in the corner of my vision, the map was a fourth of that. I couldn't just walk around with it zoomed out, because I wouldn't be able to see anything. We had 3.5 days to find the staircase. We needed to cover a lot of ground.